listening to the Weekly Biz Tape, a show where we highlight some of the biggest hits in business. I'm your host, Broderick Lothringer, and today I'm talking to Ross Marino, financial planner, social entrepreneur, co-author of Shaping Change, CEO and founder of Advisor2X, and founder of Transitus Wealth Partners. In this episode, you'll see why treating finance with a human touch isn't just nice, it's necessary. In this fast-paced, ever-changing world, our relationship with finances needs to evolve as well. So saddle up with us today as we learn more about a human-first financial guidance mission where your story and passions lead the conversation with financial advisors ahead of spreadsheets, tech stacks, and stock tickers. With that, let's play the tape. Went to your Shift conference last year, and I thought it was fantastic. And you're doing it again this next year, and we're going to talk all about that. But there's a theme here that highlights making money human. What does that mean? For folks who didn't go to the conference and they're not, and again, lots of folks who are listening today aren't in the financial advisory space. And I bring this up, a lot of folks don't put financial advisors as the most trustworthy group out there in that industry. In fact, car salesmen rank above them, and car salesmen certainly aren't number one. So when you're making this shift, when you're putting this effort out there and you see the tagline, make money human, well, what's that about?
For advisors, making money human is accepting and understanding, which most of us get it once you've been in the business for a short period of time, that it's not really about the money. The money is always for a purpose. I want to accumulate wealth because I want to worry less about what could go wrong. That's financial planning. It's not about the money. It's about how it impacts me as a human and my family and the people around me that I love. That's the human side of the money. I don't want to worry a lot about what could go wrong. And then the other side is I want to focus more on what to get right. I want to do the things that bring value to me, that make life fulfilling and worth living. I use money to support those things that I want to get right. So making money human means it's not just about the money. We're managing the money always for a purpose. There's a reason, not just to have more money. It's the application to the human, to me, so I can worry less and then focus more on what I want to get right.
Stress less, live more. I love that idea. And I think most advisors that I talk to understand that as well. Yet when it comes back to, well, core values and what you see people marketing, all too often I'll see things like, hey, they're advertising some special money savings hack or a special portfolio or something. Whereas everyone I know, the reason they're not going to a financial advisor has nothing to do with those levels of expertise. It comes down to trust. They want a human relationship or some sort of financial therapist. They see something happens with Silicon Valley Bank and someone they can call and say, should I be worried? Right? Someone who can talk them through these really, really stressful times in people's life, or it seems like extreme levels of volatility, having an advocate there is crucial. And so you understand that. You put this whole thing together. Explain to me, like, why?
The whole idea of financial planning is to help people, and this is how we started, achieve their goals. As we go through life, we found out that many of the goals we helped clients plan for it's not that they were unrealistic. They often were irrelevant 20 years later. So what I thought I wanted at age 30 for when I retired wasn't the same thing I thought of when I was age 40. And by the time I was age 50, I really wasn't thinking about much at all. I save money, make good decisions. We'll see how retirement looks. So we have this entire industry that is focused on looking to the future and planning for the future. And frankly, that it just doesn't work that well. We have to spend most of our time helping people make decisions today. Sometimes it's responding to some change in life. An example would be if you ask anybody what they do for a living, like in our industry, they're like, oh, well, right now I work for XYZ or I have an RIA. I'm like, well, you know, how'd you get to that point? The most common answer is always, well, it's a long story. Of course, it's a long story because that's life. It isn't a straight line. It wasn't, well, I had a goal to work at this firm and then climb the ladder for 10 years and then break off on my own. I don't know anybody who does that stuff. Life meanders. Life is random in many ways. So what we need to do as advisors is help people make decisions along the way. So I wanted to help shift the conversation and really shift the foundation of financial planning, not just from the goals-based financial planning, which has value. The conversation has value. My software is goals-based financial planning software. So I'm not throwing it out, but it's to understand that we need to shift the conversation to connect with our people where they're at right now, help them make decisions right now, and be more responsive to what's going on in their life instead of some goal 20 or 30 years from now that probably won't even be relevant at that time.
Hmm. So how'd you go about that? I mean, I assume you are a financial advisor. So were there any moments in your practice where you saw something, you're like, okay, no, I need to make a change today. And I guess it's gotta be me. Someone's gotta do this. What was that origin story?
The moments were really personal. So the practice followed the personal. I made plans. Mm-hmm. I'm a financial planner. The short version is I moved from Florida to North Carolina with my wife to open a financial planning practice. I was already in the business, but I was a traditional financial advisor. Within 30 days of landing in Wilmington, North Carolina, I had a back injury and couldn't leave my house for basically the next 6 years. I spent it working in a room over my garage, mostly laying on the floor on pillows or in a recliner. So instead of going out to lunches and meeting people and playing golf and networking, I basically worked over the phone. There wasn't Zoom back then, but I was a remote worker before it was even cool. Just because I really didn't have any other choice. So that was my first welcome to life happens and your plans need to change. And then had some family situations over the next few years. I have a daughter that we adopted that has some special needs we didn't know at the time. Took 13 years to get an accurate diagnosis. And my wife also has some significant health issues. And in the middle of all this, I'm thinking about what would I do 10, 20, 30 years from now? I don't even know what's going to go on 10 days from now with family situations. And that was kind of the reality of, I'm talking to people about 20, 30 years from now, when for many of them, if I really found out what was going on right now, I'd realize that some of those questions are actually insensitive. They don't know what's going to happen 20, 30 years from now. They may have just gone through a divorce. They may have just lost their job. Something may have happened in their family that they haven't shared. And I'm saying, what do you want to do when you're 65? They're thinking, actually, I want to go home and cry, but you know, we didn't talk about that. So I go through it personally. I'm having these conversations thinking none of these conversations would have value to me because there's stuff I've got to deal with right now and the uncertainty in the future is significant. Well, when I share my story with clients or with prospects, you know what they do? They share their story. And then you find out that, you know what, we don't need to talk about 20 years down the road yet. There's something we have to talk about right now. So having that aha moment over a period of time, I changed the name of my practice to Transitus Wealth Partners, Transitus being transition in Latin, and really tried to help people as they're going through life manage the change. And many of the financial decisions you make in and around life events, those are the ones that move the needle the most on your future quality of life and net worth. So instead of worrying about my 20-year goal, let's get the decisions right now while life is tumultuous, or at the very least, let's delay the decisions so we don't get it wrong. So the personal led the professional. And then once I started transitioning the professional, just realized this is where I have to meet people. And eventually we've got to make sure we share this with the financial community and help lead a movement, human first financial guidance.
As you're building this community and as you're going out and you're getting people to kind of help champion this thing with you, what was that process like? Because yes, with these one-on-one conversations, it's a lot easier to do that because you have that person's undivided attention. But did you go out? Did you start a podcast to let people know this is something you wanted to do? Did you have a marketing campaign, whether it would be email or blog or whatever? So what was that like and how did you get people to get interested in this movement with you?
Yeah, that sounds so awesome, like an actual business plan of here's what we're going to do and we're going to meet people. And that would have been so cool. What really happened is we did an event called Retirement and Longevity Summit a couple of years ago, heavy emphasis on the human side of aging and longevity, because that's what I geek out about and all the life changes. Well, after that conference, all that anybody wanted to talk about was the human first type of sessions and having conversations with some of the speakers there, like Brian Portnoy with Shaping Wealth or Susan Bradley, who I co-authored a book with, Financial Transitionist Institute. We were all just talking about it and just said, we just got to go all in. Got to go all in on the human side. So I told my team, Retirement and Longevity Summit was awesome. Everybody loved it, loved the branding, the marketing, the conference. It was great, but we're done. So that's it. So one and done. So we got to do a new conference going all in on the human side. And they asked, okay, what are you going to do? I'm like, I don't know. I'll get back to you in a couple months. So I just started making phone calls and doing Zoom meetings and asking people, you know, what do you think? What do you do in your practice? The way I describe myself as being a curator and a connector. So as a curator, I bring in the people that are leading these discussions. I don't see myself as the big thought leader. I don't create content where here's what I see. I'm actually bringing the people together. You know, at Shift, if you were there, I just do the open. Beyond that, it's let's bring in these people who do this. So I just started calling people. Megan Lertz got on the phone or got on a Zoom with her. Said, here's what I want to do. Got some ideas. What do you think? And, you know, her being an academic and also someone who knows planning inside and out, she's like, well, here's an idea I have. So that it just went person to person, hut to hut, talking to people who love this stuff and who have committed their careers to helping advisors understand the human side. And within about 2 months, came up with the name Shift. I thought that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to shift the conversation and shift the foundation of financial planning. And then we named it Human First Financial Guidance. And the reason we picked that name is it's not human centric or human based or human influenced. And all of that's fine if people want to describe what they do that way. Human first means before I draw any conclusions on who you are and what you need, I have to get to know you. I have to connect with you and understand you. It's human first. Once I do that, now we can talk about portfolio management or financial planning. And how much more effective will that be for me as an advisor to help someone once I've connected as a human first? And when I do that, it's no longer traditional financial advice, which is what I grew up with for 30 years. It's more like financial guidance because I'm actually helping the person go where they want to go in ways that matter to them. So we came up with the name Human First Financial Guidance, said we got a theme, reached out to the people I had spoken with, some friends, said let's put together an agenda. And within, I don't know, 60 days after that, we had, you know, Carl Richards, Brian Portnoy, Megan Lertz. We had some of the most amazing people that lead the conversation in our industry that said, yes, we're coming, we'll help promote it. And as you know, it just took on a life of its own practically overnight.
Yeah. And on this podcast, as I had mentioned earlier, a lot of the listeners, I mean, you name it, we have Star Wars fans, we have financial advisors, we have people in academia, tech, healthcare, all these people that listen. And a big focus for us is to bring on all these different thought leaders and content creators and business owners and all of these different verticals, because all of them have done something special and have something that translates into any industry. And something that I think is really profound with yourself is you really do understand the power and authenticity. And we all talk about it in marketing. We all know it's important. But not everyone actually does. And if we do, maybe like 50 to 60% of what we actually want to put out there, because it's scary. And it's probably the biggest risk that we take with ourselves is to really, really authentically put yourself out there, because out of fear of whatever, right? The fear of being judged, the fear of being ridiculed, the fear of being, you know, put to shame by somebody else, whatever. But when you do that, you have a tribe of people who all are going to say, you know what? I align with that. And you've just mentioned it, like Megan Lertz, Brian Portnoy, all these people who say, that's amazing. I want to jump on that because I support that mission. There's going to be other people who say, really? Like, this is kind of frou-frou. This isn't my thing. Like, that's not something I'm interested in. But those aren't your people. And this is, and again, this is the best way to create a community. And that's what you're doing. And the best marketers, the best podcasters, the best bloggers, that's what they do. They create a community and those people champion the brand. So all you have to do is open the conference.
Yes. And that's it. We flip a switch and then everybody came. It was so simple.
It's so easy, barely an inconvenience.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's the key. And you mentioned it there. You have to have a reason for people to want to associate with you. You have to build your community. My approach is I want to support other communities and bring them all together. Because each organization out there that helps financial planners, financial advisors shift the conversation and approach our industry, our profession as human first, they all have their own communities. But what I found is they're kind of siloed. So what they do is great for the people that they're working with. And occasionally they get to speak at someone else's conference where they get a breakout and so forth. But We as advisors, we work with multiple organizations. We're part of their communities out there because just like technology, we have a huge tech stack. We have different organizations we work with. My vision was is to bring the communities together. And our community is like a mega community of all of them coming together because we're all rowing in the same direction. We believe connecting with the person first and caring about the person, who they are, is actually the most important part of the financial planning process. There's different ways you do it. Some people are life planners. That's what they like to do. Other ones focus on people going through divorce and they want to help them there, or life events, transitions. There's different communities within Human First Financial Guidance, but they all have the same passion. And that's to reach people, help them make decisions where they are right now and do things that matter to them. By bringing everybody together, it was pretty magical.
Well, yeah, I 100% agree. It was magical. I already love the city of San Antonio. My whole family's there. So just the opportunity to go down there, I thought was going to be great. And then meeting people, going to the event, it was awesome. And for the folks who aren't registered for Shift 2024, it's in Walt Disney World. I've just sold you. Go register. Do yourself a favor. I actually met someone there last year who hadn't even made the switch to financial services. And she went to Shift to see if this was an industry she wanted to pursue as, like, you know, going full on in her career. And afterwards said, yeah, I think I'm down. So she shifted. And that was the perfect conference for her to do that. So if you're even remote.
About, by the way, I met her as well. It was a fascinating story. So she she came up and said hi and shared some personal details. I said, oh yeah, welcome home. This has come to our profession, make an impact because you get it.
Yep.
Yeah. She's lived. I know who you're talking about. That was awesome.
Oh, she's incredible. So if you're listening today and you haven't registered and you're even remotely interested, it might just change your life. So it changed somebody else's. It could change yours. Moving on though, because I want to talk more about the fact that you wrote a book. Talk to me about that, because I assume the process that it took to create Advisor 2X and Shift and everything is probably not the exact same process it took to write your book. So take me through that. Why did you write a book, and how'd you go about doing that?
Sure. So I wrote my first and last book called Shaping Change with Susan Bradley. I joke that writing a book is cruel and unusual punishment. It is tough. It took 18 months. I did it because I really wanted to master a subject matter. So transition planning, understanding life events, understanding the psychology behind it. If you're going to write a book, and I brought in a co-author who's brilliant, Susan Bradley, so there's no way I was going to just do this stuff only to rewrite it 82 times because I don't know what I'm talking about. So I brought in some different experts to work on it. I really wanted to master it. And to me, that's the value of writing a book, is when you look at it, yes, you can use it for marketing and, you know, it's great. You can put it out there, but really it just forces you to go into a topic and just learn it inside and out, because you write and then you rewrite and then you share it with somebody and then you rewrite and then you do some research and then you rewrite. And then Susan looks at it and says, that's close, but that's not exactly what XYZ psychologist meant 50 years ago. Here's the reference to that. And then you rewrite it. So it really forces you to dive into a subject or a topic and learn it inside and out. And I felt that's something that I needed to do with this whole transition to Human First Financial Guidance, which I didn't have the name for it back then, but that's what I was trying to do, is understand how people think, how they feel. I got my little coffee mug here from Ashley Kwame. You know, these are my questions. What are you thinking? How are you feeling? That's what we have to talk about before we talk about what you can do. And I really wanted to learn that. And that's, to me, that's the value of the book, is it really forces you to learn something inside and out, because you know you're going to be printing it and putting it out there in the wild.
Mm. Yeah, I've been told that myself, whether in any sort of leadership position. They say, if you really want to grow in this area, maybe lead a group here. Or yeah, whenever you helm something, to do it effectively, you should probably know it inside and out. And when you were getting started, I guess, how long did it take to get that book from A to Z published and out and for people to purchase?
I signed a contract when I knew I had to write a book. I didn't start on the book till I think 3 years later. So, and I wasn't doing a ton of research. I just knew I wasn't ready. So as I was moving into the world of of transition planning and life events and understanding how people think and feel and make financial decisions, I knew that that's something I was going to do. So there's nothing like committing you than writing a check and signing a contract. So I knew I was in. So that's how I forced myself to do it. Once I started and really dove in, I think Susan Bradley and I spent 18 months from the start to the time of saying, we've got this, let's press print. So it was 18 months. I don't know how many hours, but it was substantial. So it's, don't think of it as a return on investment from the hours you put in and money that you would make from the book or marketing or prospecting. I don't think it really plays out that way. It's the personal development and how that influences what you do in your profession. That's the magic of writing a book, because it forces you to go deep and deeper than you would have ever gone without the book. At least in my case, there's no way I could have gained that level of insight and expertise and drawing in different resources that really helped set the foundation of the Shift Conference. If I wasn't writing a book, I don't know how long it would have taken me to go down that path and learn what I learned.
You know, my mom got her PhD when I was a kid, and the amount of writing I remember just watching her from the outside do, it looked so painful that the idea of, it's like I've got a bigger fear of writing a book than I do of heights, and I'm afraid of heights. So maybe, but I also love facing fears and conquering them. I did go skydiving in New Zealand. I'll never do it again, but I did it once. But doing new things and challenging yourself and pushing yourself to your limits is a huge part of growth. And really, that's how you shift. You move into a different direction. You move into that unknown, and it's usually scary. You also, with all the things you've done, again, we've talked about, you're putting on a conference, you've wrote a book, you also have a podcast. So of all these things you've done and the communities you've built and the content you've created, which one has been the one filled with the most surprises? And which one has been the thing that you'd say is the most rewarding of the three?
It's almost like asking me which one of my kids are my favorite. I have two daughters, and I tell each of them regularly that you're my favorite, and it cracks them up, because then the other says, I thought I was your favorite. Well, of course you are. You're absolutely my favorite. So I let them know that they're absolutely my favorite. I think the journey along the way is unique for each one. The one that I would say is probably the most surprising, because I got to pull one out here because it's a cool question. I'm going to go with the Shift Conference. And the reason, and I'll give you a couple of reasons. So 4 months before the Shift Conference was happening, I think less than 10 advisors were registered. Half of them were probably from my firm. And we might have had four exhibitors that were probably a couple trade outs and a couple giveaways to some nonprofits that we wanted to give exposure to there. So nobody knew what this thing was, because we had already had another conference the year before that we scrapped. So literally we were starting from scratch. So 4 months out, nobody has any idea what it was. We didn't have exhibitors. And of course, that means you spend half the day in the fetal position thinking, what did we just do? But then you get excited and you get up and you go to work. Within 60 days before the event, we had 10, 15 advisors registering every single day. So we're getting emails from different exhibitors saying, I just heard about this. This is so cool. I love your speakers. Can we sponsor? And we end up with 339 people register and 36 exhibitors, you know, coming from next to zero just a few months before that. That kind of surprised us on how fast that happened. But it wasn't just the numbers. When we went to the event, someone asked me on another podcast, what was my favorite part about Shift? And I said, you know, may sound borderline creepy, but it was eavesdropping. You saw these communities get together and connect. And we're at happy hour at a party we have at 6 o'clock. Everybody's talking shop. They're talking about the sessions they saw. What do they do? How do they do this? We saw this community bond, talk with each other, engage each other, tell everybody on social media they need to come next year. That's the kind of thing that if you're in a conference business, we figured 3 to 5 years to really create some brand and some awareness and for people to say, this is it. This is what I wanted to do. It felt like it happened overnight. And you don't feel like you did it because you're just watching it happen, thinking 4 months ago, nobody knew who we were. And people are sharing on their own, inviting their friends, talking shop. It was mind blowing. So to see it happen that fast, that was surprising, but also amazing.
you know, I would say all the stuff you're doing right now is pretty amazing. Just the key takeaways for this episode, just highlighting three simple things for our audience. Hey, if you want to put out content, record a podcast. If you want to learn more about something, write a book. If you want to create a community, create a conference. Before I let you go, I do have a question that I ask all the other guests on this show. It is called the Weekly Biz Tape. And if your life, if there was a song for every aspect of it, and there was one song specifically for your career, and that it would be defined by or best summarized by, what would that song be?
That is a neat question. So I will go back a few decades and we'll pick a Bon Jovi song called It's My Life. Love the lyrics, love the song, love the spirit behind it. I can definitely relate to it.
I have an 80s rock song myself, so it, you know.
So what's yours? Come on, you got to tell me yours.
I have to wait till the 100th episode because all the fans who listen to the show who and all of the community we've built for the Weekly Biz Tape who don't actually care about my answer, but in my head, I feel like they really care when I get to episode 100 and I drop it and, you know, one person likes it on Facebook when we put a social post out about it and it's my mom. That's how that's going to go. But until that 100th episode, keeping my answer locked. So, Ross, thank you so much for joining me for this week's episode of the Weekly Biz Tape. For the listeners who want to learn more about how to shift in their own life and they want to learn more about you, your conference, Advisor 2X, all of that, where do they go?
They can go to humanfirst.live. That is the website for the event, humanfirst.live. That's the shift website. Or if they want to find me, just go on social, search Ross Marino on Twitter, and I'll pull up there, search me on LinkedIn or go into YouTube and search Advisor 2X or Shift. And we have a few hundred videos out there. We do a lot of interviews with the thought leaders. So go check it out. And if you want to reach through, connect with me directly, just do it through the social platforms. You can find me.
Awesome. Well, Ross, thank you for joining me this week on the Weekly Biz Tape. And thank you for listening to this week's episode. We're excited to have you back next week for another episode featuring another content creator in another industry. So thanks for being here. Look forward to having you again next week.